With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com. They wanna be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Check that, Lance and Dell. John is out doing John stuff, living a high life. He flew in his jet, went to some villa in Spain probably, then probably golfed, and then sat with the hoity-toity people and is probably watching the French Open at about $3,000 a ticket. That's probably what he's doing. Dell and I are here grinding, eating common man food, living common man lives, and we're amongst you, and we're part of you, and we see you. You're seen.
You are suffering from a common man problem, too.
What's that?
The everyday issues that some people have where a door gets locked that's not supposed to get locked.
I have no key to my own office, so right now I have no computer. I have no nothing. My chair that I have, my special chair I have to roll in for my lower back. Kid, don't have that. Don't care about that. And then yesterday, Dell, while I was out there grinding on the frizz.
Hold on.
Yeah.
The frizz is what you call it?
Yeah, grinding on the
Lance
frizz.
Lance hit me up earlier in the week with topics. And you know what? I was reluctant to respond because, you know.
I
didn't want to talk to him.
He was going to be on the show. He was still reluctant to respond.
But the first thing, and I guess we'll get into it later, but it just leads me to, it makes me think of it is, Your love of frisbee golf made me think of one thing. What would 18-year-old you think of you loving frisbee golf? Like, there's some things I know I do.
Forgot about that topic.
That 18-year-old.
You didn't say what would he think.
I asked you what 18-year-old you stuff you in a locker because you play, because this current you
I'm
play
much
frisbee
bigger
golf.
Than 18-year-old me.
Yeah,
so
but
he
is
wouldn't
he
be
more athletic?
He that's
might be
true.
Maybe not a locker, but give you a swirly, I guess, in the toilet.
Yeah, he could give me a wet willy and take off running. I'd be like, well, I'm not catching.
You're not catching. There are things I do now that 18-year-old me be like, what happened to you? So that
18-year-old me would have been fine with it because I came from a generation of we would just find games to play, like we would. The most bored I've ever been is when we played a game called Rebound where I threw a basketball on a roof and me and my brother would try to box each other out and try to get a rebound. Or me
I've
and my
done
friend.
That. The sloping roof and you just try to. Yeah.
Yeah, we just called it Rebound. Like, so we used to make up, it could, at any point, it could, like, it popped off. We started playing darts one time. Somebody got darts. John Harris got darts for Christmas one time, a dartboard. And so we just started playing. We were obsessed with darts. Then we got obsessed with badminton because we got a badminton thing and we play. So I don't think 18, that would not have. Frisbee golf, if I was grinding on the frizz, I'm trying to get that going in the community. So far,
it's not
have to
taking
say it,
hold.
Well, I have to say it enough to see if it will catch up in frisbee golf. But I think 18-year-old me would have been horrified. Well, probably, That's a really...
Your love, the way you talk about it, how it's infiltrated your entire life. With 18-year-old,
well, some of the things I tell my kids, 18-year-old me would have been like, really? That's what we're saying now? Look at us. Look what we're doing. You really are going to try to flip and act... You're going to try to get your kids to buy into this?
Have you seen the movie Looper?
Yeah.
I kind of honestly want younger you to come back and like...
Kill older me?
Considering what you're doing.
I do too. Because Looper was aggressive.
It was. But he did to save another person's life. I don't know if you do that.
Yeah, he's not as, whatever Looper was, it wasn't as aggressive as the first episode of The Boys.
I haven't seen it.
Oh,
I got all weekend to watch the first three.
Get ready for carnage. I mean, they are really taking themselves seriously, trying to think what is the most. I'll just say this: it is the most unsettling. It's the most unsettling first 10 minutes of a show that I think I've seen since either probably since Saving Private Ryan.
Wow.
Where you know, the full hour of Hotel Rwanda was unsettling. Inglourious Basterds had a really nerve-wracking beginning with Jew Hunter and looking for the family. But this one is probably worse. It's probably worse. I stayed up after the finals to watch that, and I was questioning why when I had bad dreams about it later. Mm. Yesterday, I did stay up for game one of Celtics and Golden State Warriors, and the Warriors won, which looks like a blowout, 120 to 108.
Celtics won.
I mean, I'm sorry, Celtics beat the Warriors 120 to 108. But it was, I tell you what, so I made this comparison yesterday morning. We had Five Star on, and it just hit me during the segment. I was like, oh my gosh, this is what this is, and I kind of blurted it out. I realized I had an epiphany that this was going to be young Russell Wilson and Legion of Boom beating Denver and Peyton Manning. In comes Golden State as the favorite, just like Denver. Here's the stalwart MVP in Steph Curry, just like Peyton Manning was. But you have this younger, faster, longer, more explosive team, just like Seattle's defense and really their entire team was against that Denver team, that they just, people just had it wrong. They didn't recognize the young team had actually were so far on the way up so quickly that they were overtaking the older team. And as we were talking about the matchup with Five Star, I realized that's what this is. And then after game one, I feel vindicated, but you know, it's a 7-game series. It's not one single Super Bowl game. But in that game, Seattle just thrashed Denver. Like, Denver wasn't even close to being on the field with them. In this one, Golden State, Steph Curry had one of the hottest quarters I've seen as a shooter. He had seven threes in the first quarter. I mean, he was on fire. This has to terrify you if you're the Boston Celtics or if you're the Golden State Warriors, Dell. You had a monster first quarter against a monster first quarter, and you still didn't extend the lead much. By halftime, you were actually down to the Celtics. You had a good third quarter where you took over. And then in the fourth quarter, the Celtics hit their first 7 3-pointers of the quarter, outscored you 40-16 in the fourth in your loud building. And Jason Tatum was 3 of 17. You just got beat by 12. You shot threes at an unbelievable rate. Jason Tatum was 3 of 17 and scored, how many points did he end up with?
He had 12 points.
Yeah, 12 points, 3 of 17, and you got beat by 12 at home. That has to be a very frightening scenario for Golden State, and I do feel like I'm right on this one. I think this is Seattle over Denver all over again in the 2014 Super Bowl.
Well, if the Celtics had shown, even really throughout these playoffs, a level of consistency, I would probably agree with you, but I sat through watching 7 games of this team.
Yeah, that's true.
And they could put on a dominant quarter. I mean, the Heat suffered a multiple of these types of quarters. Usually it would happen in the first half as opposed to the fourth quarter. Usually in that series, Heat were better in the fourth quarter. But the Celtics would respond with a game where they turned the ball over 19 times. This is who they are. I mean, even for three quarters, as you kind of laid it out, the Celtics were in it, had the lead at halftime. Then they had an awful quarter themselves in the third quarter. They just simply overcame that with an overwhelming one in the fourth. So I do see the comparisons because of Celtics' length and their youth, but then their oldest player had the best game maybe of his life in terms of shooting the basketball. Now,
Horford. Fourth quarter for Horford was unbelievable. And Horford has really played a massive role for the Celtics. He's turned into a very, very important part of this run for these young players if they're going to win a championship. Yesterday, so this is a team, as you mentioned, Dell, they are inconsistent, so they find themselves in some 7 games. But they also fought, you know, they also came out and took it to Giannis and Milwaukee. They really took it to in Miami. They took it on Miami's home court to the Miami Heat and got the win. And Jason Tatum talked about the team's recipe for winning.
The message in the start of the fourth was just, you know, we've been here before. You know, we know what it takes to overcome a deficit like that. Obviously, that's a great team. You know, it's not going to be easy, but just knowing that we've been in that situation before and we've gotten ourselves out of it. And we had a lot of time left, right? So, you know, it wasn't time to hang your head or be down. It's time to figure it out.
I can't take what happened in the fourth quarter all that seriously because of what you said earlier. They started the quarter 7-for-7-for-3.
Yeah.
When that happens, and it's
Is it a repeatable process?
And it's certainly an outlier. And I think even beyond what is happening on the scoreboard, what it does to another team mentally when every shot you put up goes in, it breaks them down. Like, you start ignoring your rules. You start taking bad shots. You start your process of what got you in terms of the Warriors got you that 12-point lead kind of breaks down because you're like, this team's not going to miss shots. I think it's an underrated aspect of how these games go. Why teams can't pull themselves out of a tailspin is because mentally, I mean, I would use a different word if we're on a podcast, mentally you're screwed because at some point you're like, all right,
yeah, but I'm
this isn't well, going the way.
Fourth quarter is different.
Yeah, in the fourth quarter, I mean, throughout an entire
game. Because
you're
not saying that about Steph Curry going bonkers in the first quarter. Why was Boston not mentally screwed?
No, I'm talking about in the fourth quarter of a game where they make everything and you can't make anything. Some of your rules and how you play kind of go out the window. The shots get rushed.
Is that how the Rockets went 0-for-27?
I mean, you could. Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to bring it up. Yeah.
No, I mean, it does happen. And to that point, you know, I think it's a legitimate question. Like, well, why is Boston able to withstand because Boston withstood what Golden State did. But there is a different mentality in the first quarter when you know there's time and the fourth quarter where you start to
panic. Despite what Golden State had done shooting the basketball, at least Steph Curry was, that lead didn't get out of hand in the first quarter. I mean.
No. It would go up to 7. But then at one point it got to, 16 in the second quarter, I think.
Yeah, and Boston would fight back. And the time gets short in the fourth quarter. And just things change for you, particularly if you're a team who had kind of cruised through that third quarter and all of a sudden shots are down. And remember, Steph Curry doesn't start the fourth quarter because he plays the third. I wonder if that will change because we saw some fall off for the Warriors at the start of the second quarter when Steph Curry sat and at the start of the fourth quarter when
he sat. Big difference, yeah.
So will Steve Kerr – now, Steph Curry played a total of 38 minutes. Will he be a guy who has to get into the 43-minute range for them to win games? Because that's kind of what we see in these series as they go on. The best players, their minutes extend. I wonder if Steve Kerr will adjust his rotation where Steph Curry doesn't come off the floor to start the fourth quarter despite having leads.
Well, Steph Curry, after the game, talked about the matchup and what took place against Boston in Game 1.
When you start off kind of following up on this question, when you start off that hot – is there an urge to maybe say, hey, I want to kind of roll that into the second quarter, I want to roll that into the fourth quarter, or is it just kind of trusting the rotations and then trying to get that rhythm back when you do come back in?
It's the latter, but it's also understanding, you know, how this series develops. At most, we only got 6 games left, so make the necessary adjustments. And, you know, like I said, it's about winning 4 games by any means necessary. And for 42 minutes, we did enough to win the game tonight. That's not how the basketball works. So I think everything starts to become on the table when you look at trying to get ourselves back in the series on Sunday and taking it from there.
When somebody tells you they played a 42-minute game, that means they 100% lost. They for sure lost. Yes. If they mention anything less than the amount of minutes that a game takes, when they reference how long they played well, that means they lost in the fourth quarter. That means that 100% of the time.
And they lost. I mean, at one point, I thought, if they could keep this close, like Boston's on this run, but if you can get it within 5, I've seen this Boston team does not play well late in games. And I think they were 2-4. Well, since the Brooklyn series, they're 2-4 in games, even decided by 10 points or less. Because usually when Boston wins a game outside of the Brooklyn series, they're running teams off the floor. They're not great late in games. In fact, Jason Tatum's like this season in clutch situations in the fourth quarter is like 2-for-25. So
wow,
he's the guy who you expect to take those shots isn't great in those situations. So they've been pretty poor late clutch wise, and they've been able to avoid it really since the Brooklyn series. And I think if you're the Warriors, you have to hope, if you're not obviously blowing this Boston team out, you can keep them within striking distance. And some of the Boston's issues that have cropped up over the entire year show themselves in the finals. But that's kind of the way they play. They put these dominant quarters on it. And for the Warriors, unfortunately, it happened in the fourth where threes were raining from all angles. And now they take a 1-0 series lead.
If you guys want to jump in, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Working on getting Alonzo Highsmith, who is left the Seattle Seahawks to become basically the general manager of the Miami Hurricanes football program, which I know Dell is a fan of Miami, and Alonzo's been a longtime friend of the show, but I'd love to catch up with him and get his thoughts on rebuilding a college team versus rebuilding a pro team, or building a college team versus building a pro team. And I think we've got some good topics we'll catch up with if he can make it on the show with us today. So we got a lot more to get to. We'd love for you guys to be part of it. 713-780-3776. More of the NBA Finals. We'll also get to there could be new ownership in the NBA. There is a big money wheeler and dealer out there looking to purchase a team, and it could have an impact on the NBA. We will do that when we come back. 713-780-3776. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I want to tell you about 801 Roofing. Mark McGuire is the owner. Not that one. Not that one at all. It's the one that I've known for over two decades. The one who used to work for Today Satellite back in the day. He was installing satellites back then. Now he installs roof. He's all grossed up. He's got his own company. He didn't shine shoes. Maybe you didn't hear. He doesn't shine shoes anymore. He installs roofs. And 801 Roofing has great reviews from the Better Business Bureau, from the Chamber of Commerce. They work with Veterans Group to help put affordable discounted roofs on for veterans. Mark really goes that extra mile to take care of you. And one of the things that he wants to do for you right now is give you an opportunity to get a free generator. This is one of the best hookups I've ever seen. You know how it is when we have hurricanes and all of a sudden, I need a generator. And they all get sold out. There's a huge run on it. You can't find one after a hurricane hits. He wants to give you one free while supplies last. If you have 801 Roofing re-roof your home, they will give you a free 4,500-watt generator while supplies last. I have never seen this before, but it's a great opportunity for them to come out there, take a look at your roof. If you know you have damage, you know you need them re-roofed, go with 801. If you're not sure, why don't you have them check your roof out, and they will look for wind damage, hail damage, the things that can cause problems once our next hurricane rolls around. It's easy to get a hold of them, 713-715-ROOF. That's 713-715-ROOF. And don't forget, this is a great opportunity to get your hands on a coveted piece of equipment that can keep your house on when when the hurricane strikes. So make sure that you get your generator while supplies last, 4,500 watts, when you get your house re-roofed with AO1Roofing.com. AO1Roofing.com, 713-715-ROOF.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So quickly, I want to bring this up because yesterday, the our Sugarland Space Cowboys lost 8-5 to the Albuquerque Isotopes. What an interesting name at Constellation Field. But there's something going on with Corey Julks. Corey Julks is a 26-year-old outfielder, I believe he's an outfielder. Yeah, 26-year-old outfielder in the minors, AAA, Houston Astros. He was a fifth-round selection in the 2017 draft out of University of Houston. And, just minding his business. AAA has worked his way up over the years. He's not a young guy. He's 26 years old. So, you know, you kind of question, well, what kind of career does he have coming up? Well, he's got a career if he continues to hit like this. He had 10 home runs in the month of May, and he kept hitting home runs in June. He hit another one yesterday, and this makes now for the season. Now, I was looking at his minor league stats. You know, five home runs, three, nine. It's, well, five was his in 207 plate appearances in, at University of Houston. He had 10 1 year in 2018. He had 10 home runs. Last year, he had 2014 home runs in Double A in 372 at bats. This year, he's already got 12 home runs in 198 at bats. So he's on a pace like all of a sudden this guy is just mashing out of the world. So just an interesting name to keep your eye on for the Houston, well, for the Sugarland-based Cowboys and for the Houston Astros. I saw someone yesterday on Twitter mentioning his name as a potential trade candidate. You know, trade Jelks and Pedro Leon for another reliever, and there was talk like that. So just an interesting, just shout out to the Space Cowboys. They lose 8-5, but they have a player who's hit 11 home runs over the last 19 games. So something maybe just to keep an eye on there. Something else to keep an eye on as I just get my computer back. So I now have a computer for the show. I'm pretty excited about that. Is the potential purchase of the Portland Trail Blazers by Phil Knight. We will get into that after we talk to JR, who is in Texas City. What's up, JR?
Hey, I just wanted to talk about how refreshing it is to see built teams in the finals. If you remember back when Kyrie was with Boston, they made a pretty deep run in the playoffs when Jaylen Brown and Tatum, they were just Cubs. They were rookies. And you could see the potential there with them to where they were able to move on from Kyrie. And, you know, Golden State, they pretty much, you know, they set the standard for built teams where they drafted their core players. And I would like to think that we may be able to see the same thing in Houston in 3-4 years. And, oh, yeah, I'm glad to hear from you, Bill. I miss you being on the Blitz. I miss Charlie Polillo. I miss Fred and AJ. That's all pre-pandemic ESPN radio. Hang up and listen.
Well, thank you, JR. I will say, I guess he meant the bench. I was never on the Blitz. I never want to be a part
unless
of that show.
Unless he said he misses the Blitz. I thought he said he missed you.
He misses me on the Blitz.
I did too.
I would have missed me too because I never made an appearance.
If you were
I think
there.
It wouldn't have been better for me. But I think he is correct when he. I think he just meant he misses me on the bench. Thanks, Jar. I appreciate it. I think his sentiment, it almost only obviously it only matters to the team if you're a fan of a team who's not in the finals. Is that still a thing? People are still fans of the built, not bought stuff?
Yeah, I think so. Well, because it's more sustainable. You start at a lower price point like the Astros, and the window is open. The built, not bought, you bought, like, your championships don't even matter with the Heat. Because they were completely bought, fabricated,
well,
and they're not really, people have low regard for Heat championships.
Yeah, you know how much
same thing with Shaq.
You know how much I don't care about what people think of those championships.
Those
they
are
never
a joke.
Okay, sure. Yeah, because the Rockets didn't trade for Clyde Drexler.
Oh, that's old Clyde.
Okay, you still traded for him. Shaq was on almost his last legs, too. How many good
really
years
was.
Did he have left?
Yeah, it's like, actually
the
kind
two
of,
that he spent in Miami.
It's pretty much the
and
same.
And then the year after they won the title, surprisingly enough, Shaq didn't come in shape and it was over after that.
Yeah, Shaq never came in shape anytime. Yeah, the built not bought is I just think people like it because you know you got a chance to keep it going for a long time. Like anytime you look at dynasties, so dynasty type runs, I mean everyone was built back in the day.
And the other thing someone brought up on Twitter,
but this is a long run for a team that's been built through draft.
Well, the only title the Warriors have won without Kevin Durant, they've only won one title without Kevin Durant. So are we still giving them credit for being built, not bought, when they've only won one title without Kevin Durant?
You know, it feels like they've won three.
They have won three, but only one without Kevin Durant.
Wait, Kevin Durant, they won two with Kevin Durant?
They won back-to-back. Remember they won, and then they went 73-9, and then Draymond and got suspended, and they lost, and then they acquired Kevin Durant the next year.
Yeah, and what sucks is that's this team that, I mean, they didn't win a championship after having the best record in league history.
And they made them
No, that's a fair point. But they also have been, like, they have been at the top of the food chain in the Western Conference for a long time because they drafted Klay Thompson and Steph. I will also say, I think the problem is Klay Thompson's not the same player. He's not able to just get his own shots and against, off the dribble. And he's never been really, that's never been his focus. But I just think when you have a good, like they always say, a good big man beats a good little man. I think a good defensive team most of the time is going to beat a good offensive team because you can strangle them. And that's what happened. The fourth quarter, Boston got strangled out Golden State's shot, looks. And it's becoming clear they're going to make Draymond. They're going to say, go ahead, Draymond. Shoot your team out of this playoff series. Because if you can fade the three-point shot for a little bit, all you got to do is defend, find some opportunities for defense, squeeze Klay so he doesn't go off. There's certain things that Steph does that are just unreal. I mean, he's the greatest shooter of all time. But Klay Thompson, if you can keep him from going off, if you can keep Jordan Poole from having a monster game, I think you got a really good chance if you're Boston because you can defend at multiple positions. And Robert Williams, I just think he's going to be a big factor in his ability to challenge.
If he can stay on the floor. I'm interested to see. Now, he'll get the break of the – I think now the games are every 2 days, so he doesn't have the every other day experience of trying to get himself ready.
Is it every
ready.
Two now?
Yeah, they won't play till Sunday. I think that's the way it will be going forward, but at least it will be for the first two games. So he won't have to worry about minutes and is the knee going to flare up in between off days and maybe he's not completely ready to go. So that'll be a break for the Celtics. I mean, we know – the model, if you're going to defend the Warriors, it was even the same when they had Kevin Durant because at that time they had two guys who really create off the dribble. Now they really only have one. Jordan Poole may do some of that, but he kind of struggled a little bit last night. It's Steph. Steph's the only one who can really get his own shot off the dribble and you'd be afraid of it. And the Rockets, when it was the Rockets versus the Warriors, they had a team outside of James who, they switch and – they were built differently because they were more like bulky. They weren't the length that Boston provided. They were just all the like a bunch of bulldogs and Eric Gordon and PJ and Chris Paul. We all know the makeup of that team. It's a little different this time around. We have length when it comes to PJ, when it comes to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, even Derek White when he's on the floor, and Marcus Smart's more in the Rockets mold of those defenders. But guys who you can switch and they can bog down your offense, particularly when there's only one guy who can create off the dribble. So it's more about ball movement. And we saw earlier in that game how the Celtics had issues knowing who to guard because of the Warriors' movement. Once they got that figured out and the open shots kind of became not a thing for the Warriors, they struggled to make shots and really to get open looks.
Well, the name is Phil Knight, who I initially talked about, and Alan Smolinski. Phil Knight, of course, the head of Nike. The Dodgers part owner, Alan Smolinski, the two of them have gotten together and they have created an offer of $2 billion for the Portland Trailblazers. You remember when you were hitting billions, and it doesn't seem like that long ago, you were talking about an NFL team. Like, you weren't getting – it was going to be the Dallas Cowboys were probably the billion team, over a decade ago, I guess. To think that the Portland Trailblazers, and they're on Forbes' list as a $2 billion team, a $2 billion team, it kind of speaks to where the NBA is. I know there's a lot of people who think, oh, the NBA is, regionally, they think, oh, NBA's a distant third to baseball, too, and football's the king. There is, I think this is an interesting offer because Phil Knight wants to keep the team in, obviously, in the Pacific Northwest in Portland. I mean, that's where Nike's home operations are in that area. And I think that's why Portland eventually, if they're looking at Paul Allen's trust, is looking to, the thought is they're looking to sell Portland and the Seattle Seahawks. So if that's the case, they're going to want to keep Portland at home. Other people have reached out to them and they've said no, they have no interest in selling, but this may end up being different. But I do think that young people's interest in basketball, I think sometimes an older generation of sports fans are maybe sleeping on where basketball could potentially be headed. I know the thought is just going to be everyone's going to say, as soon as LeBron's gone, that's it. It's going to be just like Jordan. And, certain parts of the league interests will crumble. The league lost
Jordan and a series of great players all at once. That is not going to be the case when LeBron shuts it down. So I don't think basketball. I think this is a very interesting number, $2 billion for the Blazers to show that, you know, the amount of money that's involved, but also the amount of potential interest and the value of an NBA franchise. I think it would shock some people. I mean, we saw what Tillman paid, what, $2 billion for the Rockets, and everyone thought, what are you doing? Why are you paying that? Well, I mean, he's playing the long game. It certainly didn't come out great in the short term over his first 3 years. It hasn't looked great, but I do think there's going to be real value with a lot of these NBA teams moving forward.
At some point, will Tillman put his name on Toyota Center? I mean, we know he puts his name on a lot of things. Do you think at some point it
becomes... You got paid for that. Even the guy who has all the restaurants in the world.
It's his own arena, right?
Yeah, but if somebody else will give him
the
money
Fertitta
for it...
The Center brought to you by Toyota?
If you could do that. If you could do that,
the Rose Bowl does?
Now, in college, you know, you have your own Fertitta Center.
It's got the medical thing now, too, right?
It could be Fertitta Center, too. Brought to you by Toyota, powered by Toyota.
Yeah, powered by the Tundra, whatever he wants to call it.
Could be.
Yeah. I mean, is that out of bounds to think he won't put his name on the arena?
I think he will. I think most advertising sponsors want just their own name on it. That's my thought.
The Toyota Fertitta Center?
I mean, he could float it. Just see what...
Hey, guys.
He could spitball and just see
what do you think?
When the next offer comes up.
Yeah.
I'll tell you about an offer right now. QC Kinetic, 713-913-5285. It's a company who, it's a group of medical professionals, and they are offering real biological therapies that are all natural, that have unbelievable restorative and regenerative qualities. And this has been going on in professional sports for a while now. Many of the best pros, many of the people you love, have been using this this technique and using these biological therapies to be at their very best, to get their joint health back to where it once was or where it should be. And I can tell you this, if you suffer from arthritis in your knee, if you're suffering from issues with your ankle, your hip, your lower back, your elbow, your shoulder, they can help you out. QC Kinetics, they take growth properties from your own body, they highly concentrate it, they reinsert it back into the aching joints. And what you are going to see in most cases is a regeneration of the regeneration of the tissues and regrowth of tissues that previously were frayed and were becoming a problem for you from a pain standpoint. Not only does this help with your chronic pain, it's not a cover-up like steroid shots, and it's not going to give you the downtime that the surgery has. The surgery is a drastic step, and you don't have to take it. Go with QC Kinetic, 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285. That's QC Kinetics.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Well, if you guys want to see Dell in person, in action, you can go to twitch.tv/ESPN97.5.
What a joy that would be.
It is a true delight. A lot of nice conversations take place in the chat function.
Mm-hmm.
Some nice people. They had an interesting racial discussion the
other day. I'm sure it was very nuanced.
It actually
and
was.
Well thought out.
I kind of was noticing it. Actually was. It was, I actually was proud of the Twitch chat for the first time.
Look at that.
Yeah, they were actually having a somewhat nuanced conversation. In between
the other
just
stuff.
Horrific bombs at people and each other and things like that.
Uh-huh.
So 713-780-3776. John is out today. He'll be back on Monday. Dell is in today. And we've got some different things to get to. So Phil Knight taking over, well, if he does, over at Nike. Quickly, I want to hit on this. What advantages are there to a guy like Phil Knight owning the Portland Trailblazers team? If this were college, obviously, you don't own a college except Tillman.
Yeah.
But the NIL,
Phil might own Knight Oregon in some aspects.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. But Phil Knight, if he were to own Portland, I guess people in Portland would be happy. There's no chance that Portland would leave, although I don't think there is anyway. But what is the value of Phil Knight from Nike owning the Blazers? What are the advantages for the Blazers? Can you even have an advantage anymore through ownership?
I was trying to think of them, and I brought up during the break the Premier League. When there's there's an influx of big money, you can change the trajectory of a team. Like Man City went from, okay, you're okay, to a team that's now always competing and winning Premier League titles or trying to make a Champions League final. When you're in the NBA and you have an owner, what can he do because of the salary cap? I guess he can pour more money into the infrastructure. I don't know if Portland cheaps out in some places. I know that was one of the big issues in Denver. They lost one of their top execs to Minnesota just because Minnesota goes, we'll give you everything you want if you want to come here and help us build from what we already are, which is a 7 seed or so, and see if we can grow this thing. Denver's was kind of cheap with their – I don't think they even have their own practice facility.
You can go
cheap. So you can do that.
You can go cheap in the NBA.
Yeah, in terms of off the court. Even on the court, there's a salary floor you have to hit, but you don't have to spend all your money.
Do you remember when Mark Cuban was considered, like, they had the best baller stuff, and that was considered a big advantage? That kind of stuff can absolutely matter. I think it can matter more in baseball, obviously, where you have a relatively uncapped – well, you have an uncapped sport with luxury tax. But in baseball, that can certainly matter. In football, there's cheap ownership and there's ownership that spends. In basketball, I just get to feel – I don't know. It just feels like you're just not going to see as big a difference based on ownership with players. Players are driven by lifestyle and championships. Those are the two reasons – to move. Now, you also have the middle class. We focus a lot on that stuff, but the reality is there's just a lot of guys who, when they're up, their team is not going to want to pay them, and another team will, and it's just standard free agent practices. And if you got a paycheck, they'll come take your paycheck.
Yeah.
But to get the top players.
I guess the one thing an NBA owner who wants to spend money will do, he can help, or she can do, depending on who the owner is can help with luxury tax stuff, because some owners don't want to go into it, don't want to be a repeater. So Phil Knight goes, money is no object. Sure, there's a salary cap, but if we need to spend and go into luxury tax to keep our guys when it comes to bird rights, I'm fine with that. So those are things you can do as far as the competitive balance on the floor when it comes to spending money that can help with a new ownership. But I think mostly it feels like, are you going to hire the best people? Are you off the floor? Are you from trainers to athletic staff, to all the people who we don't talk about on a night-to-night basis, that's where I guess an influx of cash and an owner willing to spend it would help.
Yeah, obviously, you can say baseball, but it really is soccer. I mean, international soccer is where fan bases hope their team is sold to a rich Saudi oil money guy who you think, oh, yes, this is it. This is our chance to spend. Like, we were so excited at Everton when we changed ownerships, and they actually do. They are spending for other players, but the very best of the very best, it doesn't matter. The very best of the very best isn't coming. And that's the same thing that's going to happen to Portland, I think, is I just don't know. Unless you're Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, no one's looking to form Miami. No one's looking to form a super team in New Orleans. They want to get out of New Orleans. No one's looking to form a super team thus far in Houston. And this is a major metropolitan city, so at least not to this point, they're not. When we come back, Texas A&M is getting a little lippy with Texas. Ross Bjork had some things to say. Mm. And I love it's become a rivalry without a game being played for over a decade. The rivalry's starting to heat up a little bit. And you know, the AD, Ross Bjork at Texas A&M, had some things to say. Also, in the 8 o'clock hour, Mark Jones jackhammered a phrase that I knew he was wanting to say going into the game. He jackhammered it into the game. We've got the audio for it. It may be a bit of a surprise for you. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Texas Custom Patio is not a surprise to me. I've seen the work they do. I know what they're capable of. They're capable of building an unbelievable outdoor oasis out of literally nothing. You know, the oasis in the desert, you've heard that, where, you know, these things spring up that you just can't believe they came from nothing. And look at what's here. Las Vegas, for example, areas of Utah, you just think, how in the world did anyone have the vision to put this here? Well, how about this? Sometimes you look out in your backyard and you say, well, I just don't see it. Well, I can't envision some great outdoor living space here. Well, I was the same way with my home, and then they helped me see it. And I want you to go take a look at the before and after, and you can really get a great sense for what it means to have someone who has that vision and then the ability to put that vision together with their building and their resources and the materials and just the structure and design. And that's Texas Custom Patios. Go to the website, tcplance.com. That's tcplance.com. And take a look at what they have built for me. Look at what used to be there. Look at what is there now. And understand that you can have that same thing at your home. TCP Lance, or go to texascustompatios.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Your Houston Astros were off last night and got some much-needed rest. I mean, they have not been getting any rest. That is, they had played their 30th game in 32 days, I believe, yesterday or Wednesday, June 1st. Not yesterday. They didn't play yesterday. They're 33-18 right now. They've got three at the Royals, and they finished that road trip after nine games. And then they've got a little decent homestand. I already picked up my tickets for the Wednesday game. So if you see my kids running around just tearing stuff up, just let them be. Just let security deal with them. Do not touch them. Don't feed them. Don't look them in the eye. Just let them tear things up, and security will eventually.
What are they, bears?
Rest them to the ground.
Don't feed
and then,
them.
Put them in a
don't
in a
look them in
cell.
The eye.
Yeah. Just don't encourage them. Except my daughter, you can do that. But just know that she's judging you on the inside. Okay, so they got three against Seattle coming up at home Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week, the 6th, 7th, and 8th of June. And then 10th, 11th, 12th, they'll take on Miami. But coming up next, though, today, tomorrow, and Sunday, they're in Kansas City. You got Urquidy going today. Tomorrow, you've got Luis Garcia. And on Sunday, we get the great Framber Valdez. 7 o'clock, 7:10 start time tonight. And then you got day baseball games over the weekend. So keep that in mind if you want to catch the Astros, 3:10 p.m. And on Saturday and on Sunday, it's going to be a 1:10 p.m. start. As Framber, Framber's known to be a guy who likes to sweat a little bit. He's known as a bit of a sweater. And so at 1:10 in the afternoon, he is going to be pouring down water and probably dominating the opponents. Now, Texas A&M, I mentioned this one. Texas A&M wanted to keep Texas out of the SEC. They couldn't do it. They tried their best. They were unable to do it. But I'm sure that the SEC was making whatever assurances to A&M, number one, that they wouldn't be in any pod system with Texas. We've heard that. And now with Texas set to join the SEC, we'll see when. Could be as early as next year, but we'll find out what happens in terms of buying out of their deal with the Big 12. Texas A&M Athletic Director Ross Bjork is already jockeying for position. He told reporters at SEC spring meetings in Destin, Florida this week, the SEC has to schedule the first conference game between the Aggies and Longhorns in College Station at Kyle Field rather than Austin. That would give Texas A&M back-to-back home games against Texas after the Longhorns won 27-25 on a walk-off field goal in 2011. Quote, it's a whole new day. It's a whole new league, and it's a whole new format, Bjork said to the Houston Chronicle. That's something that's important to us. So, quote, they realize they're going to be very, very happy to be in the SEC, and that's why they made the move, Bjork said. They'll take whatever. They'll take whatever. And they don't have a vote in the process. It's only current membership. We want to be the only SEC program in the state of Texas – he said last
year.
Yeah,
he said that, and how that worked out for him
last year.
How that work out for him last night?
Yeah, it didn't. Texas brings some cheese to the table. You bring some money to the SEC. Well, come have a seat at the table.
I do think it's great for
you get served last, but you get a seat at the table.
I do think it's great that four losses or more university has is really like, look, we're beating our chest this offseason. I appreciate it, but would it surprise anyone if the SEC goes, you know what? It'd be great if Texas hosted that game the first time around.
Can you imagine how pissed A&M would be if they didn't want Texas in? Texas gets in the first game against A&M, they have to go to Austin. They would be – I don't blame them. I don't blame – I don't blame you, A&M.
You'd be upset.
I don't blame you.
The power play was
– I love the play for A&M going to the SEC. I loved it back in 11.
It made a lot of sense.
You're a Schadenfreude guy. You love watching them squirm now.
No, I don't mind them squirming. I appreciate – I'm not interested that much in them squirming. I appreciate their willingness to talk quite a bit after being slapped in the face the last time they had thoughts on Texas joining the SEC. Look, if the SEC decides, who's their commissioner? Is Sankey still? If Greg Sankey decides, you know what? I think it'd be great for the league if you guys went to Austin. They're going to go to Austin. That's how it'll work out.
You'll get whatever we give you. Ross Bjork. You'll get whatever we give you.
They'll take whatever.
Hey, listen. Yeah, they'll take whatever.
They're not a voting member.
They don't get a voice, all right? You get whatever.
They weren't a voting member when they wanted in. And you didn't want them in, and they still got in.
Listen, Aggies, I'm going to make you feel a little bit better about this because they are going to go to your place. I think.
You think? Why? Why do you think that's a lock?
Because they know the Aggies are mad.
So?
I know. It really is a so. It really is.
And what are the Aggies going to do? Petition to leave?
You saw Jimbo almost had to fist fight their top head coach.
Mm-hmm. I saw it.
I mean, first Jimbo had to threaten your boy Lane Kiffin. Kiffin tried to get a little sparkly, and Jimbo had to say, who is this sliced bread and who is this Lane Kiffin?
This is my point. Even the likes of Lane Kiffin doesn't care what the Aggies think. Like, look. I appreciate beating your chest.
Stink, though.
I didn't say they stink. I appreciate them beating their chest because you beat Alabama on the way to a four-loss season.
That's great. Calzada, that counts as two
It's
wins.
Great, but you know what? You still got to travel to Tuscaloosa this year. And as much as that defensive line recruiting cost this year, you better hope they get after Bryce Young.
You want to catch that fade by Jimbo?
Whatever.
You can catch that fade, too.
The last couple years, actually. However much it costs, you better hope you get after Bryce Young because I don't think Saban's going to be like, you know what?
Dude.
40's enough.
No, 14, well, but Bill O'Brien still calls plays, so you may not really have a say-so on this. Yeah, A&M, as soon as that stuff came out between Jimbo and they did do a pretty good job of calming that down. But between Jimbo and Nick Saban, the NIL bowl odds came out, and it was 14.5 Alabama. And I'll be honest, I just don't think that's enough. Because Nick always puts foot on the gas in the first
half. And he's
half.
Lost to his assistants
twice this
he
last
lost
year.
Last year. You think he wants that to continue?
Nah, you know he's going to come out. And he's got some weapons here, so it'll be tough. I do want to give Texas a chance to practice something right now. If you're a Longhorn fan, give me a call, 713-780-3776. I want to fill the lines up with Longhorn fans right now. I want to try something that's never been tried on radio, not in this state, not in this city for sure, not in this state, and I don't think anywhere in the nation, definitely not in Austin. I want to try something. If you're a Longhorn fan, if I get one, that's fine. I'd prefer to have four or five, okay? And I want to try something that's never been tried before. 713-780-3776. RJ, we'll get on the phone lines, and we'll take this because I'm very interested to hear from Longhorn fans with this. 713-780-3776. I'll just tell you right now, I won't surprise you with it. You'll know what you're stepping into. I want to do a practice cheer for SEC, SEC, SEC. I want to help.
How difficult.
I want to see how you're doing on your SEC cheers, and then I want to help you. If you're not doing it well, I want to help you with it's. You got to hit the C hard. You're like SEC. Like you see how I do it at the end. And then do a fist pump. Like at the same time, you're like imagine you're doing like a hammer fist in UFC. SEC. SEC, SEC. It's usually three at a time. One SEC, SEC, SEC. You can keep going if you like, but I just want to help you guys out, let y'all learn to cheer. My wife, that I'm basically saying this just to irritate my wife, who I know is listening. She said, as long as she lives, every Longhorn fan I've talked to has said
they're not going to do it
for all of their life. They will never in a million years say SEC, SEC.
Even if they win the
SEC. I tell my wife, I said, why aren't y'all saying Big 12, Big 12, Big 12?
Because it doesn't roll off the tongue.
Yeah, that's true.
Even if they win the SEC title, they won't chant it.
Let's get real quick Longhorn Scott in here. Pull him up. Longhorn Scott, if you win the SEC title or if you go win a bowl game, like let's just say you play the Texas Bowl and you are able to beat, you beat TCU in a Texas Bowl. Ooh. Are you going to chant SEC, SEC, SEC?
No. Let me tell you, the two times, really probably the one time, well, I've only ever chanted it once before. It was in like 92 or something when Arkansas was going there. And we beat them in Austin, so we chanted it. and then in 2011, when Texas beat A&M at the end of the last game, you got that chant. But the only time I would ever engage in it is the first time we play A&M because we're going to beat them. It'll be the 77th time, and I will probably do it then just because I know the only thing that pisses them off more than having lost to Texas is having lost to us as members of the SEC and just to rub it in their noses. But no, apart from that, chanting for your conference is one of the most ridiculous, and I was going to use a different word, but it's not real PC. It's just a dumb, stupid thing to do. I don't care how Ole Miss does. I don't want them to be good. I don't want OU to be good. I don't care how the conference does.
Are you going to cheer for your SEC teammates whenever they play out of conference, yes or no?
No.
Well,
no,
see, you're not part of the culture. You're not part of the culture then.
No. No, exactly. I don't care. Who cares?
I gotta put him on pause. Put him on pause.
He's right, though.
Yeah, I don't care if Scott's right. Here, let's put Longhorn Scott
on loser,
pause.
It's loser stuff, honestly.
Or I'd rather put him on hold so he can listen if he wants. Scott, this is what you have to do in the SEC. Even if you, like Dell says, loser stuff, that's why he's trapped in the ACC and he can't get out. He'll never get to the SEC with that attitude.
R. Kelly in a closet? What are you
talking
about?
Number one, they're not interested in trips to Miami, people from the SEC.
Oh, I know.
They're not interested.
Only
in
if
that.
They're playing in the semifinal, playoff semifinal,
that's
when it's sometimes there.
The only time, and they're going to stay in the hotel. Unless you want to play ball, Scott, you're never going to be accepted like the Aggies have into the SEC.
I don't agree with
unless you accept the SEC into your heart.
I don't agree with you, and I rarely agree with Longhorn Scott on anything. But as that particular thought is real, unless you're mocking the SEC, there's no reason to chant it.
Chanting it, ironically,
yes, to mock.
I respect that.
Yes, I appreciate that.
But now, do you see them chanting SEC, SEC to Texas A&M?
No.
Like, I don't see that either. You're in the same conference.
Because you're now in the conference. You can't do it now.
No, you can't do it now.
You got to find something else.
You can try, and guess what? We're not going to think it's ironic, Scott.
No, we're just going to think you guys are proud.
Like,
think you guys are proud of it.
Look at that conference pride from Texas.
I know they just beat another SEC team, but they're just showing how much they love to be here.
Yeah. Yeah, this is pretty much I think this is kind of a nightmare for Longhorn fans to be in the SEC. Number one, it's hard.
You're following the Aggies into the conference?
You're second in with the Aggies. This is after you
made
fun
of them.
I mean, like, you were too proud to, like, this is what you were. We're this. We're our own thing. Now it looks like you're following, not just following the Aggies in, like, yeah, we couldn't do it on our own in this conference, so we're going to go join you guys. And I know it's more nuanced than that. I'm just screwing with Longhorns a little bit. But at the same time, your job's just got substantially harder to try to win. Substantially harder. And I think this is a really, really challenging move for Texas. And to learn the culture, you're going to have to say pecan pie now instead of pecan. Like, there's a lot of things you haven't even thought about
you're going to have to go to Alabama for the meetings and stuff.
Yeah, you got to go there. You got to learn all the little, hotty-totty Christmas party or whatever they say at Ole Miss, whatever
pretend,
little sayings
you gotta
are.
You got to pretend you care what David Pollock is saying.
Yeah, you're going to have to be like, I remember 270-pound David Pollock before he was 195
remember when he
that smart mouth. He hates our – you got to learn that everyone hates your team.
Remember when he had that sack and stripped the ball from the guy?
Do you guys even care about Gary Danielson? Do you even care? No.
Gary Danielson hates your team and he only loves Alabama. You didn't know that, did you? But you got to know these things going to the conference.
Mm-hmm.
We need to create a primer, Dell.
I know
SEC primer.
I know LSU went to your school and you got. Don't they have to go there this year?
Oh, look at my son. Oh, I'm proud of you, Mason. He says SEC, SEC, SEC. See, my son's already learning the chant.
Isn't he going at which one's going to Alabama?
Alec is going to Alabama.
Yeah. So
and he was saying things like, I'm probably gonna cheer for Texas anyway. No, you're not.
No, you're not.
Not once.
It's not
you're
gonna
there.
Be fun. It's not because Texas won't be good enough and it won't be fun to cheer for them.
It ain't gonna be fun to cheer for them. It's not gonna be fun to cheer for them.
No.
You need to mind your business and cheer for your
better
team. And you're also gonna probably win.
A lot of games.
And probably handily. All right, we got to break it here. 713-780-3776. When we come back, we'll get to your phone calls. We'll get some other topics as well, including what happened in the NBA Finals. And we'll hear from the Texans. Yep, you're that lucky. 713-780-3776. It's The Bench with Lance and Dell today on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.